Welcome to Prayer Altar with Pastor Ime Johnson, the lead pastor of Caro Spring Impact Center, located at Trans-Woji Road by Ogbatai Junction, Woji, Port Harcourt. This is a moment of agreement and prophetic prayers. Stay tuned and trust God for the answers, for with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Indoors you shall eat it, with your belt on your waist and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in a haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So you shall eat it in a haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. Verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt that night. Verse 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it as a feast by the everlasting ordinance. Get to verse 21 to 23. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take a lamb for yourself according to your families, and do what with the lamb? Kill the Passover what? Lamb. Keep going. 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop. When you are done killing the lamb, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. Verse 23, we end there. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. Spirit of God, we ask for clarity. Speak to us in a language we will understand. Let your word come expressly. Let it bring blessing to all the hearers. In Jesus' amazing name we pray. I didn't hear you say amen. We started by defining Passover last week, and we say it is a major Jewish holiday that celebrates the exodus of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. The children of Israel were in bondage for 400 years prophetically, but 430 years in reality. They were not meant to be in bondage for that long, but they were. And in course of being in that bondage, God decided to save them and rescue them. But it was not possible because Pharaoh had a grip on them. And so God said to Moses, tell Pharaoh to let my people go that they may save me. The major reason why he wanted them go was that they may save God. But he said to them, I was going to harden the heart of Pharaoh, and he will not want to let you go. And so in reality, he hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh refused to let them go. Long story made short, God needed to pass through Egypt with one more plague. There were several plagues that came on Egypt. And so that one plague was the death of firstborns in the land of Egypt. Firstborn of men died. Firstborn of beasts died. firstborn of known and unknown things. Everything in Egypt died that was a firstborn. Even unto the gods of the Egyptian, God executed judgment that night. So every time we remember Passover, we remember that Passover was a day God showed his supremacy to humanity that he might save his own people. Every time we remember Passover, we remember it was the last night that the people of God were in bondage. Every time we remember Passover, we remember that God is sovereign, and no matter how powerful a man might be here on earth, the supremacy of God overshadows or overwhelms the weight of man's power. Passover tells us that no matter what we go through, the day God wants you free, you can be free. Passover tells us, no matter how strong a man is, God can break his backbone for the sake of his people. Passover tells us, every time God sets his people free, is that they may go to worship him. Passover tells us that. And so, I told us we're going to look at how Passover is related in the New Testament. How Jesus was portrayed as a Passover lamb. But this is not time for all of that. So the first thing we started was at Passover. The first thing we saw is that it was certain that God's judgment was coming on the land of Egypt and the house of every Egyptian. And we told you that whatever you see in the Old Testament is a type of what is happening in the New. It was a picture. It was a shadow of the New. The New here is the New Testament. So you can see, for example, Abraham taking Isaac to go sacrifice on the mountain. That was a typology showing that Jesus will have to take his son. I mean, God will have to take his son, Jesus, to sacrifice on Calvary. So most times the things we see in the Old Testament were shadows of the realities that were to happen in the New. That's why you will hear Jesus said, he said, your father's wishes to see my day. Abraham desired to see this day. There were several fathers in the Old Testament that wanted to be part of what was happening in the New, but they never had the privilege of. And so, when we see what happened at Passover, we say the first thing that means to us is that it was certain that God's judgment, what God did in Egypt, was a type to tell the world that one day God would judge the earth. And everyone who does not have the mark of the blood will be destroyed. We look at that last Sunday. So the judgment here is in two forms. The immediate judgment as the earth is going, and the final judgment when the earth will end. So right now, as the world is going, the devil is busy fighting and doing all kinds of things. But when it comes around a believer who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, they cannot succeed over you. They can come in one way, but they would always scatter in seven ways. Like you heard of our sister who was not feeling too well. That was the devil coming. But in seven ways they flee, because there is what we call the mark of the blood. The blood is a token for preservation. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. But the devil will not always have an upper hand. The Old Testament will record this way. He said the rod of the wicked will not rest on the lot of the righteous. The lot of the righteous, a portion of land that belongs to the righteous. The rod of the wicked, that staff. And so when we talk about the rod of the wicked and the lot of the righteous, we're talking about the authority of the wicked will never rest on the land of the righteous, on a portion of the righteous. They can come, but they can't succeed. And then we also talk about the final judgment that will come. And everyone that is not redeemed by the blood of Jesus will face hell one day. There will be no escape route for anybody who has not accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. There would be no escape route. The only escape route is to hear this word and accept the finished work of the cross, which is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that was the blood that was marked on their lintels. So when the angel of destruction saw it, he had no portion in entering that house. The second thing Passover reminds us is that every home was to raise a sacrifice. He said in verse 21, go back to verse 21, Exodus 12:21. He said, let every house raise a lamb. I told us we're going to look at five things Pentecost reminded us. Today, we will look at the second one. Every house was to raise a sacrifice. And then, maybe within the midweek service or any other service, we'll look at point number three, which is obedience was key for every man's deliverance. Anyone that was not obedient to the instruction that God gave was bound to be destroyed. Many have suffered today not because they don't have good opportunities, but they never obeyed God's letter words. They never obeyed God to the latter. Abraham would have killed Isaac if he did not hear God again on the Mount of Moriah. Number four thing we're going to look at is that the blood did not discriminate. Whoever ran into the blood was spared. And number five thing we're going to look at is that the ultimate price of God's people to be saved was paid. Ultimate price for God's people to be saved was paid. And so today, we're going to be looking at every home. That's point number two. Every home was expected to raise a sacrifice. And I want to submit to us here. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel. So then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourself according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. Everyone was meant to take lamb according to their families. Get to verse 22. And make sure that it is killed. And then use the blood on the lintel. Verse 22. Use the blood on your doorpost. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike it on the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. We return back to verse 21. It was compulsory that every home, if you read the earlier part of it, you will see where he said, if the house is too small to take a sacrifice, let him share with his brother. No matter how small the house was, they were asked to partner, but still must sacrifice. And the question I always ask myself is, why is God so concerned about sacrifices? It's clear. God is a spirit, and spirit cannot do without blood. We'll look more at that. So your service to God or any deity is not complete without sacrifice. You must take note of that. Whether you serve the Almighty God, or you serve any other God, or any form of a deity, service to God or any deity is not complete without blood, without sacrifice. Mention in your village, can you remember any deity they serve? Any God they serve, small g, that they can ever serve without a sacrifice? Service is never complete. Never complete. Does it mean that God wouldn't have been able to save them without them killing the lambs and using the blood? He wouldn't. He wouldn't. Because there's a dimension at which God's power cannot be released until certain sacrifices are made. You can imagine God sitting in heaven and seeing at Goshen, every house of the Israelites, blood was coming out there. 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 The smell of blood attracts spirits. It was not possible for the spirit to pass through the land if there was no blood that invited the spirits. Take my word as your pastor. You will grow up to know this. That any family whose hands are stained with blood, every blood has a smell. Every blood has a voice. Every blood commands certain spirit. That's the truth. In fact, a man's spiritual capacity is determined by how brutal his sacrifices are. Call it any cult, call it any society, call it any gathering. Anytime a man sacrifice is stronger, you can talk about the spiritual capacity of that man. The That's why lightweight Christians are lightweight powered. That's why somebody can point hand and tell a Christian, you're talking to me, you will see me. And then go to call something and shake something. And a Christian appears in a mirror. Why? Because that man has more spiritual capacity than you, who calls yourself a Christian. Sacrifices enlarges and strengthens your spiritual capacity. That Christian will die and go to heaven. But he will be killed by a witch who pays more price than him. God will not interfere with the protocol system of the earth he has laid down. If he would have interfered for the children of Israel. God asked them to go for war. And they inquired of the Lord, should we go for this battle? God said, go. Is it not so? And when they went, the hidden king saw they were winning. And the hidden king saw the way they were winning. And ran home and carried his only child, who was supposed to be a king in his state. Brought him on the altar. Killed him to his own God. Not to the God of Israel. To his own God. To a deity. To an evil spirit. Permit me to use that word. And the same God that told the children of Israel to go to battle. And when they went, they were winning. Suddenly turned his back against the children of Israel. And faced towards it. The Bible said there was indignation against the people of Israel. And the people of Israel started losing battles. Why would that happen? Because God does not interfere with spiritual protocols. You won't do business with a person. And you say, I'm a child of God. And you wake up with 2 minutes, Egebra, and then bath and leave the house. And before the old person leaves his house, or whatever society, he would have burnt candle. He would have knelt down for hours. He would have said all kinds of things. You can't compare your Egebra of 2 minutes to 2 hours of their sacrifice altar. And then both of you come to look for the same job or are doing the same business. Customers are passing. Your shop is before his shop. He looked at your shop. He should have branched in. But something stronger than what is drawing him here is calling him there. And so he passes your shop and does not even know why he enters this one. You have more goods than this one. So why didn't he enter your own? Because there was a stronger force calling him there. There's a height you get to in life that you don't move with physical, ordinary eyes again. Why? Because I understand that there is war. And for a man to survive in war times, he must raise sacrifices. We finished Thanksgiving on Sunday. We need money. And from the little we had to take out about and went to Gateway Altar. And so we came to return thanks to God for the year, for the battles he has fought. And what percent is that? We are looking for money here. And you are taking a total of how many percent altogether to go drop on another altar because you have spiritual understanding of sacrifices. Every house must kill a lamb. If the house be too small, he must partner with another. But every house. There were very poor people in Israel who wouldn't be able to afford. God said, you must. So when the angel comes and look at your doorpost, they will not see, you will not write there, our house, no gate, pity us. In the realms of the spirit, the only language that is understood is blood. You see those people that used to cry, I'm so borrowed. They still die on top of their cry. If cry works, most persons won't die. Because 80% of people that die, if not more, cry till death. So what is sacrifice? Sacrifices are covenant tokens that commands the hand of God in your favor. Sacrifices are covenant tokens. It must not only be money. It must not only be properties. Whatever commands the hand of God in your favor, as a covenant token, is sacrifice. Those things you do for God, they command God's hand or the hand of God when you are not even aware, but you need help. It's a sacrifice. If it is every battle you fight, you will die quick in life. And may I submit to you that more than 99% of the battles that comes to you, you are not aware. What you know is less than 1%. And if God even make you see up to 5% of the battles that you have to fight, your BP will be very high. If you don't die, self. So what happens when you are not aware that there are battles happening around you? You must have something you have raised. Fight. The children of Israel did not know why they were losing. Oh, they didn't know why they were losing. Something had happened in the realms of the spirit. And if their sacrifices was high, it was brutal. When that man killed his son, the weight of that son would have been like this. Whereas the price the children of Israel had paid before they came out was like this. So it will not mean anything. They will still be winning. What is sacrifice? Sacrifices draw blood and command spirit. Anything that draws blood and command spirit. Anytime you do things for God such that you feel pains, it means blood has been drawn. You don't have transport and you trek to church, blood has been drawn. You are hungry, you are not eaten, and yet you are still standing as a protocol with empty stomach, blood has been drawn. Whatever you do that draws blood is a sacrifice. And anytime blood is drawn from you, spirits are commanded. Spirits naturally traffic to the directions of blood. Spirits can't do without blood. And without sacrifices, there is no blood. And so if all of you raise your hands in worship, and your hand is always raised like this, your hand has never been raised like this. In less than 1 minute, you have dropped it. If a Hindu is to raise hand during their prayer, they won't drop it. If a Muslim is to raise hand during their prayers, they won't drop it until it is time to drop. Am I saying the right thing here? But in Christianity, we casualize these things. Do you know what it means to raise your hands by your altar? And so we watch you, all hands raised. Everybody raise your hand. Your hand is lifted. In less than 3 seconds, look at how it used to come down. In fact, you sit down. Why are they singing? They have been singing since. All kind of things. You sit down. Nothing pains you. Nothing draws you to the elastic limit. Well, it looks like the hand wants to break, but you lift it. If lifting of hands were not important to God, why will God connect the victory of the children of Israel to Moses' hand lifted? But God, if Moses have come to the mountain and just said, let the children of Israel win, that should be enough now. True or false? Why must Moses lift hand? Anything that does not draw blood does not command spirits. His hands will pain him. Aaron and all will hold the hands. Their hands will pain them. They will look for stones and blocks. Every time the hand comes down, the children of Israel will be losing. Every time the hand goes up, the children of Israel will be winning. How does hand lifting connect to victories in battle? The devil knows some things that we don't know. That's why when we come in worship, we come in prayers, and he knows that the lifting of our hands means that we connect to heaven for victories. And the victory of just that 30-minute worship in church might be the victory you need throughout that month. But the devil tells you the hand is heavy. Drop it, drop it, drop it. And suddenly your hands were down. And nothing commands spirits for you for that month. A everything we do here is beyond the physical. And you must learn to see the spiritual in the things we do from the physical realm. If you want to break the, if you want to break the norm and go beyond. When Sister Faith was testifying and said, I need this spirit that is on pastor. I need what is on pastor on me. And then she will be taking my handkerchiefs. I never knew it. And it worked for her. I never knew it. Because in this kingdom, everything is more spiritual than physical. On Monday, a family lunch, I was in town. They gave a 4Runner car to pick me up. And the husband had to call the wife and say, please let that car be with pastor for as long as he's in town. When I went to pick it, they counted money and gave to me to fuel the car, that they are so sorry, fuel is low in the car. What did they see that will make them follow like that? What did they see? Not just because I'm a pastor, but to a great extent, they understand the power of sacrifice. Oh, you think they didn't have anything to do that day? Whatever draws blood, whatever causes you pains, and you are doing it to honor God, is a sacrifice. Every time you raise sacrifices, you are raising altars. And two things I've always told us about altars is, number one, altars don't die. Everybody say it after me. Say, altars don't die. Altars will never stop speaking. Every time you sacrifice, you are doing two things. You are raising an altar. And altars don't die. Altars don't also stop speaking. Let me tell you something. You know, today I'm using both the traditional aspect to talk more for you to understand. Some of you, where there used to be shrine in your village many years ago, if you check very well, today they have graded road. In that shrine, when they were grading the road, they just paid the family something. Why is it that anytime state government or federal government is doing construction, they pay shrine more than house? Have you asked yourself that question before? If they see shrine, they pay higher than a story building. They can give story building 20 million and pay for shrine 35 million. Why? Oh, you've not asked yourself that? They pay spiritual places higher than ordinary places. Because they know that even when they carry greater and move everything, go and throw away, you only move the physical. But if that position, that spot was dedicated to that spirit, those spirits don't live there. You can use greater, grade it off. You can put laterite, put stone base, or put sharp sand, put laterite, put stone base, or put laterite face. And after everything you have put there, you now put asphalt. You have finished road construction. Cars are passing. But spirits don't leave that place. They don't leave that place. Why are funny things always happening in a particular place? The Bible recorded about Jacob when he was running from his brother Laban. Sorry, from his brother Esau to the house of Laban. When Jacob was running, the Bible recorded that he went to a place and he was tired and he decided to lie down and sleep. Am I right? And so he saw stones and he put his head on those stones and he slept. In the night, as he slept, he had a dream. What was the dream? Angels are ascending and descending a ladder. And he woke up and said, so God was in this place and I knew not. The question is, why was there a ladder there? And there was a traffic of angel in that place. What happened? Many years ago, God made a covenant with Abraham. And every time God made a covenant with Abraham, Abraham will always raise an altar. So by that covenant, Abraham kept a stone there, anointed the stone, and raised an altar, and called that place Bethel, and said, for this shall be the house of God forever. Bush has covered everywhere. Nobody sees anything around there again. And this is Jacob running. Many years after. Remember, Abraham had a child when he was 100. Isaac when he was 100. Isaac had children at an old age also. Was not that early. So you can imagine approximately 20 years have passed. Okay, let's say by this time Jacob had grown to become, let's say, 40, 50. Over 200 years have passed. You can imagine what happened on a bush track that you have left for 200 years. But spirits never left there. Because they were asked to be there. An altar was raised and a word was spoken. Let me tell you the truth. When we go for family deliverance, we don't just go and say, you foul spirit in this family. We bind you. We cast you out. Get out. We get out. From today, we scatter. Or you just carry rational and go and throw inside water. And say, we have thrown it away. This family is free in Jesus' name. Lie. It does not work like that. You engage in what we call legal battle. I come here in the name of Jesus. And I've come here by the mystery of the blood of Jesus. And today, I have come to announce that whatever was happening in this family before now was a mistake of the past. And that mistake, today Jesus have decided to correct it. This family by ignorance sold their birthright. But Jesus died at Calvary that this family might be redeemed. He paid the ultimate price. And then you give one, two scriptures where Jesus paid for them. And then you say, by the mystery of the blood of Jesus, whatever was used to enter into this covenant with this family is dissolved. We nullify it. And I speak by the mystery of that blood that this family is redeemed. You follow it legally. Another man would have paid a bigger price. That is enough to change the order and the writing of that order. I don't know whether you're following. And there is no sacrifice that is higher than that of Christ. That's why you can have a legal backing to tell them, by the sacrifice in the blood of Jesus, we ask you to get out from this family. And you don't leave a place and leave the ground vacuum. The next thing is, in the name of Jesus, we release the power of God here. This place become an altar of worship, or an altar of prayer, or an altar of whatever. Mention it. And then when you have mentioned it, sanction it by the blood of Jesus. Children in that family may not have been prayer people, but suddenly they start praying. The same spirit that was in that place before, making people to talk carelessly, or making people to live in immorality, has been cast out, and now the spirit of prayer has been brought to the family. Suddenly you see this passion for prayer coming in the heart of everybody. The spirit of immorality suddenly left. The spirit of anger suddenly left. The spirit of violence suddenly left. I don't know what you're following. And they start praying. Why are my brothers are praying these days? My brothers are always worshiping these days. My sisters are always... You don't know, something had been replaced in the realms of the spirit. Somebody say, altars don't die. Say, all my sacrifices in Carry Spring forms an altar that speaks in my favor. Say amen to that. Say better amen to that. And altars don't stop speaking. Like I said, there are times you may not be able to pray, but the altars you have raised will speak for you. There are times you are so tired, and what is happening you don't know, but you have altars positioned to speak for you. And so when you're tired and you're sleeping, there are some of you that even have very terrible nightmares. You woke up, you should have been covered. Thunder, fire. But you were tired. So you just said, I plead the blood of Jesus. Whatever the devil is trying to do, I cancel in Jesus' name. You slept back. And the plans of hell never manifested. What happened? Altars don't stop speaking. And there are battles you don't even know you have. But the angels that traffic your altar sees it and stop them for you. Have you watched those movies where they poison people's drinks and an angel will appear and change the cups? You've seen those movies before. There are so many things that happens in the realms of the spirit when you have altars speaking for you. Stretch your hands towards this altar. I speak in the name of Jesus, whenever you need help, this altar shall speak for you. Every sacrifice you have made on this altar shall speak for you. Every blood you have drawn for the sake of the expansion of the kingdom of God from this altar, it shall speak for you. I say it shall speak for you. Anyone currently fighting any battle, by the power of the blood of Jesus from this altar, I command those battles cease forever. Cease forever. Cease forever. In the name of Jesus. I would have loved to finish this teaching, especially on this raised sacrificial altar, but time is not really in my favor. So I'll just take maybe one or two points. Kinds of sacrifices God demands from you, if you must always enjoy Passover. Number one is sacrifice of your body. Until you come to a place where you present your body a living sacrifice first, all the other sacrifices will not yield full rewards. If God cannot use you, God cannot use your thing. If you are not my wife, I will not have access to your pot of soup. I will not have access to your bedroom. There are certain privileges you enjoy by relationship. I don't know. Are you following me? Are you with me? Romans 12 from verse 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Romans 12, 1 and 2. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Romans 12 from verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? You present your bodies how? So the sacrifice of your body is number one. Let it be holy and acceptable to God. For this is your reasonable service. Every other act of service is unreasonable. Without this. Look at verse 2. He said, when you do this, you will not be conformed to this world. You will not talk like the world. You will not behave like the world. They say, it's normal. These days is dating. Everybody dates before they marry. And what are they calling dating? Fornication. Adultery. Oh, that man is my date. A married man is your date. Say, it's my adultery partner. Don't give a corny name to sin and polish it like it's something good. Called date. Date. It's my date. Initially, when I used to hear, I didn't even understand what they mean. Do not be conformed to the world system. Everybody may sleep before they marry. Stay clean till marriage. Let it be a price you pay for the sake of God. To me, let me put it this way. If I were you, I would rather not marry because of God than be called a married man or a married woman in making God angry. When we stand before Jesus, you hear what Peter them go through, went through. What Paul went through. What other apostles went through. When they show the marks on their body, what they suffered for the sake of Christ. What will you show? Your cup of tea. I remember the Bible talking about Peter. When they wanted to nail him, he knew he was going to die. And he was asked to deny this Christ. And because of this Christ, he was to be nailed to death. They hanged him on the cross. He knew he would die. He told them, please, I have something to say. They said, what is it? They thought maybe he would say, please don't kill me. I will not follow him again. He said, this is how my master died. He was nailed like this to the cross. Don't nail me that way. Turn me the other way. He has been nailed already to that cross. The pains of that nailing alone. He said, no, turn me upside down. The way you nail me is not okay. I am not worthy to die like my master. And they removed him. Turned him upside down. His head facing down. His legs facing up. And they nailed him back to the cross. And they left him there till he died. He bleeded on the nose. He bleeded from the mouth. He bleeded from the ear. For this same gospel that you and I are believing for. People died for it. Today nobody is even beating you that you believe in Christ. You are even the one that is looking for sin to commit. And on Sunday you come to church. You stand on the door as an usher. You stand on the pulpit as a choir member. You serve in one capacity or the other. To you are sacrificing for God. But before God, there's no sweet smell. The aura that is leaving your body is immorality. God does not perceive that sweet smell of a man who served God in sincerity. See my wife here. I wanted to marry her the first month I saw her. But families never agreed. So we waited for family. And we waited for 4 years plus. Almost 5 years. And for that almost 5 years, she used to visit me. But for once, we never did rubbish. We decided from the one. I'm a man, oh. But babe, we will have to wait. Let's honor God. Not because I was a pastor, but because I knew that there is a level you can't get to until certain sacrifices are made by you in this ministry. Hey, hey! And your body will tell you, today just touch her. You people will not do anything, just the touch. Can imagine today, every time I'm on prayer altar, she will join. She'll be typing amen. If I was touching, and then when I'm saying, I speak in the name of Jesus, and I see her watching, my voice will drop. I speak in Jesus' name. Whatever is your problem will go now in Jesus' name. Because I know that somebody is watching me now who knows me. We didn't know the internet will make the world like this. That if you run, if you commit in Woji, you can run to Rumobiakani. But the internet, run to America. They will see you shouting and you will see them that they are alive. They are watching you. Child of God, the truth about it, when you keep yourself for God, you have a lot of benefits. Some of you tomorrow will get married to a governor, a deputy governor. You will have one top position ministerially or whatever in this nation. And you will somehow stop be around someone that you messed up with many years ago. And he's pushing truck and he's coming. I say, hey! Ngozi! Hey! Now your mother follows up. You'll be ashamed. Whether you try to form and say, stop that nonsense. Stop that nonsense. You'll be ashamed. I once had a secretary who worked with me in church. Today, she's in government. But she was my secretary. She writes for me. She was one of the best secretaries I ever had. And every time I come to the office, she's sitting. If you had messed up, she wouldn't have done that. She wouldn't even believe in you as a pastor. There are so many of you here that I call you my daughter, you are happy. Why you can gladly say, yes, you are my daughter. And you can boldly speak of this church tomorrow. It's because I have a limit of play around you. Am I right? There is how the limit of play will go. Okay, Sister Faith seems to be like one of the ladies that is more close to me. And she'll be saying, I want my pastor spirit to come on my head. Oh, you think that when she's coming inside the office there and nobody's around, or maybe we are here and she's pastor, I want to tell, I say, Sister Faith, come small, come. What is this on this your back? Let me remove it. I'll be every time I'm cleaning something on her. Every time I'm cleaning something on her. You think she will need that cleaning something spirit to come on her? She will not. She will just be looking at you and waiting for the day she will have a good church where she will go and serve God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said how to do that. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by renewing your mind always, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You are the one to prove to the world. You are the one to prove to the world. And you can't prove that living in one funny lifestyle or another. Number two, God expects you to sacrifice your resources. Your service to God is not complete until your resources are used for it. Exodus 35, maybe we read from verse 20 to 29. Exodus 35, 20 to 29. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of the meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments So they brought things. They brought things we may not be able to read to the end. Whose heart God has stirred? Whose heart God has touched? Whose heart God has stirred? They brought resources. There are levels of giving that shoots your heaven open. There are levels of giving that breaks protocols for you. Never had a request that you never raise a seed. Resources, material things. Give. When you see me giving and giving and giving, I'm not stupid. On Sunday, we stayed there for leaders meeting to see how we can raise 200,000 to balance up for the Praise Infinity. That Praise Infinity, you see casual like that. Yes, it did not take up to the estimated 800K, but it took approximately 600,000. And from this, my pocket, over 400 came out. And the truth about it is, it's not because I had and kept somewhere, but I understand the power of giving to God and God's kingdom. Oh, you don't know that dance that happened that day. It's my dance to next levels. It's my dance to certain open doors. You get to places they say you can't enter, and your sacrifice arise and say, no, open. Come on, open. And you don't even know why certain things happens to you. You don't know. I have never gone to any country in this world and be locked out. I've always enjoyed opportunities and favor because God has been merciful. You know how that happens. A man who gives to the furtherance of the gospel can never lack. And as the year is ending and a new year is beginning, make up your mind that you will not play with your tithe and your offerings. Make up your mind that you will not play with your offerings, with your seeds, with your prophet's offering, with kingdom expansion. We are planning to do outreaches every month. Get to a particular junction, talk to people about Jesus. Make up your mind that your resources will enter. I will sponsor one outreach. I will sponsor three outreaches. I will take care of this. I will take care of that. Make up your mind for that. Your resources cannot enter this kingdom and a reward does not come. Everyone gave. Number three, sacrifices of your intellect. He said your body, your resources, your intellect. Exodus 35, from verse 30 to 35. It is good for you to know that your intellectual achievement was primarily with a purpose attached to kingdom advancement. Whatever certificate you get in this life, whatever knowledge you acquire, whatever wisdom, whatever skill you have learned in this life, God allowed it primarily for His glory. You must know that. There was a man called Barzillai. Barzillai was very cunning in craft. He was very good in skills. But he never knew God gave him that wisdom for a purpose. One day all man shall stand before God. And God will ask you to account for the giftings He gave to you that you never use in influencing His kingdom. It's not a cause, it's a truth, it's reality. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord had called by name Barzillai, and the son of Huri, the son of Or, of the tribe of Judah. Have you seen how God dressed him? He may never had known, but before this time, God had already told Moses. So Moses was telling the people now, get to verse 31. And God has filled him with the Spirit of God. Now, God has filled him with number one, what? Spirit of God in wisdom. So when Barzillai is wise, who made it possible? Number two, in what? In understanding. When before you bring up something, Barzillai know what to do. Who made that possible? Do you know there are architects that you give them a plan, but they will look at that plan for 3 days before they understand. And they are professionals. But there are some that even if you don't show them, just tell them, they will know. Understanding. So the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and in knowledge of how many kinds of workmanship. So bring any kind of work, Barzillai can do it. Any kind of work, he has wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, because the Spirit of God put it in him. In all area of jobs. Get to verse 32. God help him to be able to design artistic work. To work in gold. So give him gold, he will work on. Give him silver, he will work on. Give him bronze, he will work on. Keep going. Bring jewelries, he will cut it and set it. In carving of woods, he will do it. And to work in all manners of artistic workmanship.
in those days, this was like working in oil rigs. So anything gold, silver, bronze, silver, in those days were the highest kind of jobs, followed by farming. 34.
And he has put his heart, the ability to teach in him. And Aholiab, the son of Ahim Samak of the tribe of Dan.
35, we end there. He has filled them with skills to do all manner of work. He has filled them with skills to do all manner of work of the engraver and designer and the tapestry and make up blue and purple and scarlet and thread and fine linen and of every. Bring anything to Bazilee, who will do it. And you know, Bazilee normally will find himself like a big boy when he comes to church. And then he will say, do you know, if I touch this keyboard, you know that the keyboardists have touched your keyboard. I don't play for all these small churches. So. In fact, if I come to that church to do protocol for you, you will know. In fact, if I am the church secretary, you will see the difference. In fact, if I take care of sanctuary, and God will say to Moses, in fact, God went and told Moses, he said, among my people, I have raised a young man by name Barzillai, and I have put all this in him for my sake. Barzillai will never be great, if not that God ordained him primarily for the building of the temple. Does it mean that he will not use that skill to feed his family? Does it mean that he will not use that skill to better the society? But primarily for the kingdom's sake. We're to talk about different kinds of sacrifices. I may not be able to push to continue again. But child of God, until what God has blessed you with blesses the work of God, you have not started. Every January, I have the privilege of going to the Elevation Church. And one of the things I notice there in that church is that you will see old men, old women, take permission from their pastor and come to serve in church that 1 week that pastors are coming for training. You see this toilet that you'll be asking people to clean? And they're like, why is pastor reducing me to cleaning of toilets? When I went to Bible school, this Living Faith, my very first day in Bible school, what humbled me was, as I entered, there's a car that entered with an escort, 2 mobile policemen, and 1 man came out and was greeting people. Me, you know, sometimes when you go to school, you want to go and ease yourself face or something, so that when you get to the classes, you won't get disturbed. I had already entered the restroom, and then I saw this man running with his suit, oh, with his suit and his tie halfway hanged, running. I saw him with my eyes when he was dropped from the car. And as he was coming, I was entering. He said, please, sir, 1 minute, please, sir, 1 minute. So I gave him chance as a big man that I just saw coming. I was surprised to see him go take mop. And then I went to take the mop from him. No, sir, don't worry. Let me do it. Because I saw him with my eyes coming down and I saw his escort. And he said, no. You worship here? I mean, sanctuary. You worship here? I didn't worship there. I came for Bible school. I'm in sanctuary. And as at that time, Prado Jeep was new. This model Prado Jeeps were new. So if anybody comes down on that, it should be highly valued. But he knew that no matter who he is in the society, it's primarily for the sake of the kingdom. He will not need to preach for his staff in the office to believe in the service of God. He will not need to preach it. He will not need to try to convince his wife and the children to serve God tomorrow, because his life is an example of a man who serves God. What skill has God blessed you with? How has it influenced and affect positively the kingdom of God? The Bible says every man shall stand before God to give account of what they did with the talent God gave to them. And the question is, when you stand before God, what will you say? You tell God that you were more intelligent than the other student who learned the same thing with you, but never understood, but you did. God allowed you to come to where you are today for a purpose. May God not be disappointed. I want to end here. I've not been able to touch 1/10 of my message. 1/10. And of all the subtopic, all I needed to handle today was that you must know that every man must raise a lamb. Every man must raise a sacrifice. And I was trying to show you different areas of our sacrifice. I've not even entered into the benefits of the sacrifices. And so on and so forth. But I have to stop here. Hear me, child of God. No man sincerely serve God and see shame. I'll say that anytime and anywhere. No man sincerely serves God and see shame. I'll repeat it again and never ever forget it. No man sincerely serves God and see shame. It might look like shame is close, but it will never swallow you. Because altars don't die. Altars don't stop speaking. And every sacrifice we make in God's kingdom is an altar. You must know. You must know.
We cry, holy, thou art holy, there is none like you. In your presence, this way we must be.
Thank you for your time with us on today's prayer altar with Pastor Emi Johnson. For more prayers, feel free to contact us on 0817-870-5755 or do email us at carispringic@gmail.com. Do well to like and follow our Facebook page at Prayer Altar with Pastor Emi Johnson and join us every Wednesday night by 11:45 p.m. for more prayers. You can also visit our YouTube channel at Carrie Spring Impact Center. We will be pleased to have you worship with us every Sunday from 8 a.m. at Carrie Spring Impact Center, located at Trans Woji Road by Ogbatai Junction, Woji, Port Harcourt. We look forward to connecting with you again next week. Next time, same station. May Jesus exceed your expectations.
Search my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me.